It's Liz Berg here at WFMU, and thank you for choosing to join me in my special warped little world of music sharing. I wanted to thank some folks who supported WFMU during our October Crunch Time pledge, silent pledge drive. We're not talking about it very much on the radio because we don't like to interrupt our programming more than once per year to do fundraising at WFMU, unlike many, many other public radio stations out there. We like to make our fundraisers fun and brief, and so even though we're very, very low on money at this time of year and we could use your help, we only want to take a minimal amount of time to ask you for it. So if it's in your heart and soul to support something that you love, something that you've enjoyed, this podcast, for example, perhaps my radio show, or just maybe you appreciate the fact that something like WFMU exists in this world, go on over to WFMU.org/pledge and make a little donation here at the end of the year during our time of need. It will really help us out, and you'll be doing a good thing for the world. I always feel like we really need to focus on supporting the things that we love to make sure that they never disappear or go away. And each and every year around this time, WFMU is in danger territory. So your help is much appreciated. Thank you to my buddy Scott, yes, in Brooklyn. Thanks to Ron in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Layett in Little Rock, Arkansas, Matthew in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thanks to Matt in Brooklyn, Walter in Melbourne, New Jersey, Andy in Hanover, New Hampshire, our own Joe McGasco. Thanks, buddy. Thanks to Daniel in Mahwah, New Jersey, Gregory in Staten Island, Abra in Portland, Oregon, West Coast representing there. Thank you to Christopher in Waco, Texas, Paul in East Hampton, New York, Mark in Palm Springs, California, our own Erwin Chusid, Mr. Neal in Deerfield, Illinois, with a very generous pledge. Thank you so much. Thanks to Michael in Jersey City, New Jersey, Meg in Seattle, Washington, David in Glasgow, Michael in Seattle, Alec in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, and our own Gary Sullivan here at WFMU. They've all made a little donation, chipped in at the end of the year to help out WFMU, to support my radio show and my podcast. It really does mean a lot, and it ensures that I can continue doing this each and every week for free for your enjoyment. So, yeah. Again, WFMU.org/pledge. Get our new t-shirts. You can enter your pet into our mascot contest and more. So with that, I wanted to continue on with this podcast. It's a very special episode. I'm presenting a live set of music from one of my very favorite musicians locally, and actually just period. Dan Friel is a great guy, a wonderful musician, and just his music hits every sweet spot that I think is out there. It's poppy, it's bleepy and bloopy, it's glitchy, and more than anything, it's joyful and fun, and I think you're going to really love his set of music. This set I'm going to play for you on the podcast today was engineered by John Shin, so super thanks to him. And just FYI to all of you out there, even if you might not be in the New York City area where Dan hails from, he's going to be going on tour in Europe with Lightning Bolt, which is going to be amazing, and he hopes to tour the rest of the U.S. soon as well. So keep your eyes out, keep your ears out. This guy is really amazing, and I hope you enjoy this live set. So let's kick it off with Dan Friel. I've got an interview after the set to share with you, and thanks in advance for anybody who can kick in a pledge to WFMU this October. All right, Dan Friel coming up right now.
We'll be right back.
Dan Friel, thank you for coming to WFMU once again.
It's good to be back.
You're not a stranger to these airwaves, but that doesn't mean that this visit isn't special. In fact, it might be the most specialist of your visits. Specialists of your visits?
Specialized?
Specialized. Well, anyway.
Go on.
You've got a new album out called Life on the Thrill Jockey label.
Uh-huh.
Tell me.
Yeah, it's true. It comes out on Thursday. It's the second album I've done with them, and it's the third of sort of what I'm calling a trilogy of the solo records.
Ooh, I didn't realize it was the third of a trilogy. That's very important.
Like,
that's like the climax, right?
I know. It's like, yeah, it's the one where you know, everything kind of gets old and tired and you wish they hadn't made a third one. That one.
No, it's usually the second one where they introduce a bad character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think that was the case. There wasn't a bad character in your last album.
Huh, interesting. I'll have to look for that guy. Yeah, so there's three full lengths now, and I kind of see them as being like a little family, and it feels good.
Cool. Yeah. And did you have a concept behind it as the trilogy? Was it just like...
Not really. I just... You know, it's sort of... In a way, I feel like I've done what I needed to do with this particular thing, which is a weird feeling. I don't really know what I'm going to do next.
Yeah, do you have closure? Is it like breaking up with somebody or the end of a long movie? Or
no, I mean, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go on tour in Europe for almost a month with Lightning Bolt. So it definitely feels
like... This is so amazing. Anybody, if you're listening in Europe and you miss these shows... Like, you are a fool.
they are going to be awesome. It's true.
They're going to be very awesome. Yeah. So we can go to your website and find the tour dates.
Yeah, totally.
And so which cities are you hitting? Just so
I'm
we can
flying,
call them out.
Me and my backpack full of gear that I brought here on the subway are going to catch a plane to Lyon, France, which is where I'm meeting up with Lightning Bolt. And then it's like France and Spain and... Netherlands and Ireland and England and Scandinavia. So a lot.
That will be so much fun and so great for all of those lucky Europeans who get to see you playing with Lightning Bolt. That's a dream bill to me.
Me too.
Yeah. So that's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, what else are you going to be doing musically once this this album, this phase, this tour has passed?
I have no idea. I want to tour some more because I feel like performing it is more fun than ever because I've got more stuff to pull from and I've just been doing it for so long at this point. It's so much fun and I really want to tour and I don't know, share that.
Do you want to tour across the U.S.? Or
I do.
Should I tell people who live in other places to just run and find you and book you in their basement?
Yeah, just email me and I'll be there.
Or, you know, living room or whatever?
Yeah. I don't know. That's I haven't really thought that far past the release show on Thursday.
Oh, tell me about that. Yeah, because there's a release show.
Yep,
and it's
Secret
happening.
Project Robot. And it's me. I'm going to be doing a bunch of stuff off the new record. I have a horn section for a couple of the songs.
What?
Yep.
Crazy.
Trombone, sax, and trumpet.
And, who do you have playing with you?
Hope I don't mess up anybody's name. Jeff Tobias, he plays in a band called Sun Watchers. Sam Kulik, who's played trombone on tons of Parts and Labor stuff. And Jesse DeRosa, who plays in a band called Grasshopper, this like two trumpet and electronics thing that's really awesome. And then Sun Watchers is playing the show too, and the Ethel String Quartet is playing, and they're playing a piece that I wrote for them last year. It's like a 10-minute string quartet, no electronics, trying to sound like what I do. So it should be good. And then my friend Todd Bailey is going to be doing video synthesizer at the show too, where I send him a audio output and he has like a, you know, circuit board that he's built and it reacts video wise to what I'm doing.
Wow.
So it should be good.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So Thursday night, October 15th.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
At Secret Project Robot, and that is in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, one of the very best venues, in fact.
Oh, they're so great.
In my opinion. Yeah. They're good people.
Yeah. So good. Oh, and my friend Zach Lehrhoff is going to be serving snacks. There's going to be something called a life sandwich. It's going to be good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
A life sandwich.
I mean, you've been there. You've seen like the shack outside.
Yeah, there's a shack outside. Yeah. They sell, you know, beer and wine and apparently
and occasionally Zach snacks.
Life sandwiches.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm hoping to have a couple of these music boxes that I've been building ready too. I did this with the last record, but I'm trying to like expand the project where I like make music boxes that play the songs off the new record. So I think this one is going to be the kind of thing where there's the box and then there's different strips for different songs. And I've got like three or four ready, but as I, you know, do more records of something at some point, I'll make more strips and then people can have more just like, you know, short hand crank versions of the songs.
So it's like a real music box, like you crank it and bing, 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 bing. Wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy. It's like you belong in the ranks with Tristan Parrish and Quintron in like the sort of the homemade
somewhere
music
right
box.
In between. Yeah.
I think so. That's so cool. So are you like, do people find these just at your shows or how do they get their hands on them?
I mean, so far we've just done, I've only made a handful of them. There's one that's set up, I think right now at Rough Trade East in London and you can play with it and then they're going to like do a giveaway when somebody pre-orders the record or something like that. Sent one there and to a couple other places, but I'm going to start selling them at shows and on my website. That's the idea.
Are you building them yourself or like, it's how, like do you, the, how does this happen?
No, I'm not that advanced building wise. I get these, there's like kits for the actual mechanism. And then I've been mounting them onto different cans, like olive oil cans and stuff like that for resonators, different shapes and stuff like that. And then the kit comes with like a plastic strip with, you know, like a music staff, and you can punch holes with a hole punch for where you want the notes to be and then feed it through. So I've been doing that, but then copying the hole pattern onto plastic. So it's a little bit sturdier. And one of the things I'm hoping to do is collaborate with my friend Stowe, who did the artwork for the new album, because the album art and the thing that he's doing right now involves dipping paper into this, you know, kiddie pool he's got in his studio.
Oh, it's like the swirly art, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With like paint and hot sauce and
there's a term for it and I forget. It's called like, it's not called swirling. It's not called
There's some like real classy name for it.
Yes.
That's not that.
There's
a
specific term for it that I'm not remembering at the moment.
And I want to figure out how to put the music boxes into that pool, but we'll see, and have it stick, which isn't working out yet, but we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Wow. All right. So you've got, material genius under your belt now too. So what have you been listening to lately?
Good question. Yeah. Let's talk about that. This week I heard a band from Chicago called Meat Wave that I really like.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know them?
It's kind of a disgusting name, but I like them.
Oh yeah. It's like, generally I only like a guitar band at this point if they have a real dumb name. I mean, okay. Naomi Punk is not that dumb of a name. It's just odd. But that band is also real good. But yeah, that Meat Wave record's great. Giant Claw. Do you know Giant Claw?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I played a show with him this summer and I sort of like knew the name vaguely, but he did the set where it's just him and like a drum pad thing on his lap. And it was amazing. So much fun to watch. So much so full and complex for something that just one person is doing with one instrument, you know, that you can, and you can actually see it being made. It was just awesome. That was really good. I did a couple of shows this summer with my friend Davey Harms. His new record is great. That's another like solo electronics, like kind of noisy techno thing. But he's been doing it for years where it's just like kind of electronic, like loud pulsing that's not quite dance music, but people still dance to it. And it's just awesome. Did a show together in Providence with a couple of really awesome projects, Wilted Woman and Unicorn Hard-On, and their sets were both incredible. All just like noisy electronic, not quite dance stuff. So good. Those are the ones that come to mind.
Cool. Are you doing any more composing?
I want to, now that I've got the record done. My son Wolf was born the same week as the last record came out, and so the last 2 years have mostly been about learning to be a parent and stuff like that.
And not sleeping,
yeah, that kind of thing. And also we moved into this house that we got with a couple of friends, and so moving, parenting, all that stuff. But now I have this like basement space that's my space for music, so I'm gonna try and dive back into the composing thing and just do like a ton of recording over the next year. We'll see.
That's cool. What's like your ideal project with, you know, writing music and composing? Like what, like if an opportunity presented itself on your doorstep and it was like the perfect thing for you, what would that look like, sound like? What would it be?
I don't know. More than anything, I kind of want to be surprised by those things, because the string quartet, when Ethel asked me to write something that was pretty far outside of what I normally do, and that's why it was awesome. And that's, you know, I learned so much in that process. So I would certainly write another string quartet, but it'd be kind of cool to write for some other form of classical ensemble. Would be really fun.
Bam, MoMA, come on.
I will.
You're out there listening.
I will write for you. But as far as like an ideal group, I don't know. Sure. How about a couple of strings, like a violin and a viola, and then, you know, probably do electronics this time. The string quartet that I did already is all acoustic. We'll bring in, you know, somebody on electronics and synths and stuff like that. And then how about timpani and bagpipes?
All right.
Okay.
All right. Cool. I'm looking forward to the next album. Okay. Where are you going to find a bagpipe player?
Oh, Matt Welch.
Yeah, you know, okay.
Yeah, he's been playing with me and with Parts and Labor for years. We're doing a duo thing at the Stone in December. I forget the date. I want to say it's the 8th, but I'll have to look it up. But yeah, Matt Welch is like a composer, sax player, and bagpipe player. Yeah.
We'll wrap up. I will say, unless you can think of anything else that we need to tell the good people out there, because you've got a lot going on, and I feel like maybe this year is like, I don't know, good things are happening to you. And
they are.
For a damn good reason. It's about time.
Thanks. Yeah, I got nothing else. The record release on Thursday, and then, I don't know, Europe.
Yeah, go see Dan in Brooklyn or in Europe. You have two choices. Pick one. And I'll be conducting a test at the end of the tour to make sure that you all went out and did fun things and got to see Dan as well as Lightning Bolt.
Okay.
Thanks again for this visit and such a great performance.
Thanks, Liz.
Appreciate it.